What's up, guys? We're Fantasy Football Insights. I'm Chris Brunt.
Hi, I'm Brandon Cole. How are you guys doing?
And we're here today to make this podcast all about the fans. We're talking keeper questions, general questions, whatever you guys need here. So we're going to start off with talking about how our championship Sundays went. So, Flo, how'd your championship Sunday go?
Out of my five leagues, I made the championship in one of the leagues. Before this Monday night game started, I was down by 20 with Vernon Davis and Michael Crabtree left in the PPR league. So, hopefully I win. By the way, it looked in the first half, it didn't look really good, but I mean, how'd yours go?
Mine went pretty well. We're right now we're currently winning, and unless Anquan Boldin has some crazy amount, looks like I will finish winning this game and take home the championship with a 12 straight victory. So that's a pretty nice start.
Thanks to Jamal Charles and Josh Gordon.
Yep. So we'll start off with the general questions here. Is Alshon Jeffrey a stud wide receiver one regardless next year, or does it all depend on who the quarterback is?
I don't think it matters on who the quarterback is next year, either being Jay Cutler or Josh McCown, because you bring in a guy like Mark Trestman, who has definitely brought an offense to the Chicago Bears, and no matter who he has behind the behind the center, the top two targets are still going to be Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey no matter what. Those are Trestman's two guys to go to. And I still see Jeffrey. I mean, nobody knew what to expect out of Jeffrey this year, and he bust out onto the scene. So now that they know what he can do, they're going to give him more looks, and they're going to give him more shots downfield, especially use him in maybe one-on-one matchups in the red zone more.
Yeah, to me, he's definitely a number one wide receiver next year. Hands down, they'll have Jay Cutler there, to my knowledge. And I mean, he's a very physical wide receiver. People can get physical with him. He doesn't care. I mean, we saw him get inside of the Vikings' head once the in that matchup where he had the big 200-yard game. So as long as Brandon Marshall's there manning the outside, helping him out, he's going to get some wide-open looks, and I really like Alshon Jeffrey next year. I think he's a second-round pick. Do you agree?
Absolutely, I agree completely with that.
All right, so we should talk about how I won my league. Congrats, Tobin.
congrats, dude.
The 49ers next year, what do we expect from them?
I expect him to grow from this season. I mean, this is pretty much capping his sophomore season. Last year was his rookie season. Played most of the year without Michael Crabtree, and with him back, he's actually helped that offense a lot, and he looks really impressive. So next year, we're having Boldin and Crabtree both taking pressure off of each other. I see the passing game moving a lot more fluidly. I see him actually probably maybe drafting the guy in the draft to help out the receiving game. I don't think Manningham's the guy. Still got Vernon Davis streaking down the field. We still are standing behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL with Frank Gore, and what other running backs are going to run behind that line. So what do you think?
I think they're going to be pretty solid next year. So far, like we've seen from Colin Kaepernick, everything we're going to – I mean, he's only going to get better. Right now, people are forgetting about Mario Manningham. He also didn't have him most of the year, so he was just going with Anquan Boldin. And Anquan Boldin is a physical receiver. He's not a guy who can beat anybody off a route. He's just got to bully him off the route. So – he was really struggling to get open. Like, people were just being tough with him, and he could not handle it. And he was really struggling, and besides week one where they didn't really know how to defend him. So when you look at overall what Colin Kaepernick has done, they've been taking him out of the read option, making him develop to become a more pocket passer. And he's been highly inaccurate at times, but I believe that right now he's going to be like a top 12, maybe top 15 quarterback next year. I don't know about you there. Then we look at, like, Frank Gore next year. They're obviously going to limit his touches next year, I believe. I think he's still going to be the guy. And with that offensive line, it's absolutely amazing. I could run for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, a couple thousand.
So, I mean, we have that. And I just believe with the South Carolina rookie they drafted, which is Marcus Lattimore, they're going to try to get him more and more involved. He's going to be stealing the reps, I believe, away from, like, the Michael Jameses and the Kendall Hunters of that backfield. So I think that is where they'll be headed right now. Wide receiver-wise, I think they're just going to keep doing what they're going to be doing. They might add a second tight end this offseason, not because Vernon Davis is terrible, just because with the way Frank Gore's been handling the backfield and they want to keep him more healthy, they might roll with a two tight end set.
I mean, they still got Vance McDonald that they drafted, which he's actually had a pretty solid rep. I mean, Frank Gore's actually ran the ball pretty well this year, so I mean, maybe Vance McDonald's still the guy. Maybe they do go and get someone else.
Yeah, and then definitely I believe the wide receiver core is amazing. They might need to go in a different direction at wide receiver three, but ultimately I think Mario Manningham can still get the job done. And obviously, like we didn't talk about it, but their defense is loaded.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So their defense is still going to be a top three, top five defense next year going into the season when they're drafted. So that's where we're headed right now. Cincinnati was the next question on the board. So Andy Dalton, what do you think from him?
I think he had a solid year this year. The problem is that he's been really inconsistent. It seems to only play better when he's at home. They did add a few more weapons to his arsenal this year with Tyler Eifert and Giovanni Bernard, who has totally busted onto the scene. With these weapons, Dalton should succeed, is what I'm trying to get at here. I mean, next year is a big year for him, honestly, because he's made the playoffs all years he's been in the NFL, which is actually pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So with these weapons that he has and a defense that continuously is getting better, even with the injuries that they have sustained, this is the time for the Bengals to make a push in that division, because the Steelers are struggling right now. They struggled this year. The Ravens are missing pieces that they lost in the offseason, so they definitely have to push in the playoffs. This playoffs will be very big for Andy Dalton. And, I mean, if he can't find a way to make it past the first round in future playoffs, then I think it might be time for them to move on.
Yeah, I crunched the math, and I believe that Andy Dalton is going to move into the top five for fantasy quarterbacks this year. He kind of caught me by surprise. Andy Dalton has three performances over 30 fantasy points this season and has five over 20. I think that's pretty impressive, but he also has three under 10. So Andy Dalton's been mildly inconsistent this year, but still he has top five fantasy quarterback numbers this year. If you're playing in a total points league where you just get points for total points, I mean, and that's your standings, Andy Dalton's been the way to go this year. And I believe that once they get I think they'll try to address a number two, but if they don't try to address the number two, like maybe they'll go after a guy like Hakeem Nicks or something, but if they don't, Marvin Jones isn't the worst. I mean, they got him involved. The problem's going to be what's going to happen when Jay Gruden leaves. If he takes a head coaching job somewhere else, what kind of quarterback is Andy Dalton really become, or is it all Jay Gruden? So that's something we'll have to worry about down the stretch. But the defense is still loaded. They're going to have Geno Atkins come back, Terrence Newman. I mean, Reggie Nelson. They'll be getting all the guys back that they can. And that's right now the way that they'd be going. The next person on here is Eddie Lacy. What do we expect from Eddie Lacy next year?
Eddie Lacy definitely burst onto the scene this year, many people not knowing what to expect out of him due to his injury woes in college. He showed me a lot this year. I didn't know what they were going to do since they added Jonathan Franklin in the draft as well. But he's Marshawn Lynch 2.0, in my opinion, and he had a really good year. Playing almost the entire year without Aaron Rodgers, that's pretty big, and he's been still consistent. And I know you have a stat that you're going to be telling here soon, like 20-plus carries, like mostly every game, which out of a fantasy running back, that is just phenomenal, because you have a guy with that much power and that guy who's getting all the goal line carries, you want him on your fantasy team no matter what. I see him being a late round first pick, early second round pick, and I think he's a solid number one running back. The only thing that you have to worry about is maybe the sophomore slump, but I mean, Alfred Morris was a sophomore this year, and he actually had a pretty solid year compared to his rookie year. And that's with a very bad season out of the Redskins this year, with RG3 not helping the cause that much this year. And playing these last few games with Kirk Cousins, he still ran the ball well. So I see Eddie Lacy having a pretty good year next year. They're going to be able to focus the offense more around them during the offseason with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree. Eddie Lacy's a first-round pick next year. Right now, I completely will admit this offseason, I believe that Eddie Lacy will lose the job to Jonathan Franklin. I thought Jonathan Franklin was just a better back coming out of college, honestly, UCLA. I thought he was a better receiving back. He could get his hands on the ball, make plays quick. That wasn't the case. Eddie Lacy was clearly better than Jonathan Franklin, and that's the way that they're going to lean right now. And he has the most carries since week five among running backs. Eddie Lacy's been the guy since week five. It took him 4 weeks to get into the swing of the NFL, but heck, if he's going to be getting all these carries, I can't really complain about it. And like I said, 20-plus in every week that Aaron Rodgers since week five has played quarterback, so they were still getting him involved even though Aaron Rodgers was there. So he's a first-rounder to me. The next guy on the list is Reggie Bush, and how are we worried about his fumbling woes?
I mean, in recent years, I had never really noticed any fumbling issues. So maybe it's just like first year jitters here with the Lions. I mean, I still like him as a number one fantasy running back in next year's draft. A second, third round pick. I mean, if I'm you drafting, I would still always draft his backup because you're never gonna know what you're gonna get out of Reggie Bush, and especially with his injury woes. And who knows if. And who knows if he's even going to be there next year as in Joique Bell. He could go elsewhere. But no matter who's the backup running back, you still get him. Jim Schwartz might not be there next year. So, I mean, it'll be kind of interesting to see how Reggie Bush will be used if they bring in someone new. But he's a great receiver out of the backfield. He's a very electrifying player. PPR leagues, he's very good in. But I'm not losing faith in Reggie Bush just because of a couple fumbling issues this year. I mean, if it carries on to the next year, then it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, I agree with that. Unless they bring in a coach who's just absolutely against the fumbling, I think Reggie Bush is still going to be the guy. This is a guy who I thought had a chance to break the all-time receiving record for a running back, and he hasn't gotten near it. Reggie Bush has been actually very subpar to me this year. I was expecting a massive year for Reggie Bush. He's been a little subpar for me. I would say that he's an early third round pick right now. But of course, people like to kind of bite you after that. And what happens is I say that Reggie Bush is an early third round pick. He's going to come out and have a monster year next year. So that's where we're headed right now with Reggie Bush. Josh Gordon's the next one on here, and a lot of people do not know if he fails another drug test, this guy's suspended for the year.
Yeah, it's a big issue with him, and I mean that's what you're gonna get, just kind of like the whole Justin Blackman issue. But I mean, Josh Gordon is still leads the NFL this year in receiving yards, missing the first two regular season games, I must add. Also playing with three different quarterbacks who are no better than a backup quarterback in my opinion, and he's still producing. He does not have help on that offense other than Jordan Cameron. He started out very hot, but Jordan Cameron's been kind of invisible in the previous weeks. He had a good showing out against New England. But other than that, it's been the Josh Gordon show. Greg Little hasn't shown up. Devon Bess is that slot receiver that they thought could do something, but he's been battling injuries this year. Josh Gordon is that guy, and I see the Browns bringing in a more consistent quarterback this upcoming season, along helping out that running game. Willis McGahee, Edwin Baker, Chris Obanaya, they're not the answers. They're going to have to go out and fix that. And I think we both agree that they're going to fix that with maybe Ben Tate. But Josh Gordon is still that guy next year. Second wide receiver in both our rankings, I'm
Yeah.
pretty sure, right behind Calvin Johnson. I feel great about him. He showed me a lot this year, and I can't wait to see what this guy can do in the future.
Yeah, exactly. He's the second wide receiver for me. And currently, I mean, honestly, if Josh Gordon's doing all this with those three quarterbacks, like Fogo was talking about, what can he do with somebody who can actually throw the football? It's hard telling. Josh Gordon is completely unguardable. You'll see them put double teams on him. You'll see them put safety help over the top, and Josh Gordon still can manage to catch the ball and get open. He's got I mean, heck, Akeem Talib. People were like, "I's got a tough matchup with Akeem Talib. I's got a tough matchup with Ike Taylor." Guess what he does? Slant route, beats them both. Goes to the corner. It's over. He just runs a little streak, double move. He's gotcha. So Josh Gordon, he's leading the leading receiving yards. Missing 2 games this year. It's pretty impressive. Jamaal Charles is the next guy. I know for both of us, we don't really even got to talk about him other than he's the number one running back for both of us, number one overall pick.
Yep, no problem with Jamaal Charles. I'm going to go back to Josh Gordon real quick. The thing about him next year possibly is maybe defenses put more pressure on him and maybe start double teaming him more, but this guy's still electrifying. I don't risk a lot of draft picks next year on him, like a high draft pick in my opinion. I would keep him in most leagues, but just look out for that. Like, don't expect a year like this next year. He'll be right up there though, but back to Jamaal Charles, the guy definitely burst onto the scene this year. I really did not know what to expect from him this year. But under Andy Reid this year, he was just absolutely phenomenal. Andy Reid found a lot of ways to get that guy into open space, and we definitely witnessed that against the Oakland Raiders as he went off for 5 scores. But Jamaal Charles is Chris Brown and I's first running back off the
Yeah.
board next year. The guy can do it all. He's a great receiver, great runner. He's just fat. He's just I'm just gonna put one word to his name is speed and fast, and like that's what you want out of a running back. But I mean, I don't see any competition from him. I mean, Miles Davis actually had a pretty solid year, but I look for a very consistent year next year, Jamal Charles, just like what we saw this year. The thing that many people don't know is that he has not seen this many carries in his career this year. So they're going to be going into the playoffs, which then is just going to increase his amount of carries, and it'll just be interesting to see the toll it takes on his body and how it affects him next year.
Yeah, and that wraps up our general questions. Honestly, unless there's no other general questions, so we'll just end up moving on to the keeper questions, and I'll just wrap up the segment here. Here's the question. I'm in the first year of a money league with my friends, and I can keep two. Can't decide between these guys: Josh Gordon, Eddie Lacy, Jimmy Graham, Keenan Allen, or Andrew Luck. Which two would you keep, Blue?
I would go with definitely Jimmy Graham. He's the number one tight end off of every board, and he's going to be that guy with Drew Brees. They use him everywhere on the field, especially in the red zone. The guy has like 15 receiving touchdowns this year. I definitely want him on my team. And the other guy I would go with is actually Eddie Lacy. You want that consistent running back on your team, and you know how both of us have felt as we just talked about him. With Josh Gordon, though, I can see your case. The guy's a monster. But the running backs are so hard to come by sometimes, and you want to have that guy who's going to be there for you week after week. You can find receivers. I found Antonio Brown this year. He had a monster season. I had no idea what to expect out of him. So I would go out of that group, Eddie Lacy, Jimmy Graham. Shout out to Keenan Allen on one of the best rookie wide receiver years I've ever seen. But my two picks are going to be Eddie Lacy and Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Wide receivers are pretty simple to find. You got a guy like Keenan Allen that we came out and found. This year, we also found Cordell Patterson, who has four straight games with a touchdown. Mike Brown had a touchdown last week. Cecil Shorts is a guy that you can get late in drafts, depending on if they go quarterback in the draft. You're going to be able to get a guy like Justin Blackman, who's going to go late in drafts. But this guy's super talented. Like, Justin Blackman was the top five receiver until he got over the weeks that he played, until he ended up getting suspended. So you look at those guys, you look at that, and I'm like, I can wait at wide receiver. I don't need the top tier guys.
Marlon Brown.
Yes, and that's just what we're talking about. So the next question is I can keep three, and I'm thinking Calvin Johnson, Jamal Charles for two of them. We would agree with that. I have one spot left with Le'Veon Bell, Eric Decker, and Percy Harvin. Which of the last three should I keep?
All right, so you already got one of your wide receiver spots filled out with Calvin Johnson, and your number one running back is going to be Jamal Charles. Out of those other guys, I would go with Le'Veon Bell just for the fact that we just talked about how deep the wide receiver is this year. Le'Veon Bell has definitely showed me something this year. I didn't really know what to expect after he suffered that left rank foot injury at the beginning of the year, but he really has just been balling. Like, they give that guy carries. I mean, yeah, Felix Jones has gotten some carries, but that guy is still the guy that using the receiving game. He's getting all the goal line carries, and this is his rookie year under a Pittsburgh offense that is not good this year. They are very subpar. They are missing most of their offensive linemen. David DeCastro, for instance, lost him to injury. So get Le'Veon Bell behind a very healthy, consistent offensive line, and we can only imagine what this guy can do in the next year.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell was actually my preseason rookie of the year going in, and I still feel good about it. Like, a lot of people were talking about his injury. Honestly, it was a freak injury. He got hurt. He got his foot hurt, and honestly, it dropped him in the draft stock. But the problem was Le'Veon Bell actually ended up playing pretty well behind a pretty crappy offensive line. So you look at that, and Le'Veon Bell is working his way up into the first round for me next year. So we're going to move on to the next question. I am joining this league for next season, inheriting this roster from a guy that's leaving. I get to keep six, no limit on how many seasons you get to keep them. So I got to keep Luck because I could have him his entire career potentially. What do you think about the five others? We got Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Matt Forte, Frank Gore, Eddie Lacy, Jordy Nelson, Alshon Jeffrey, Josh Gordon, Wes Welker, Jason Witten, Arian Foster, Julio Jones, and Reggie Wayne. This looks to be like a two-quarterback league to me. What would you do, Fogle?
Okay, so this being a two-quarterback league, you're going to definitely want to at least keep one of your quarterbacks. Out of those quarterbacks, I'm going to go with Andrew Luck. Tom Brady is definitely one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But you don't know how that receiving core and Rob Gronkowski is going to look this year, and you just don't want to have to go through that. Andrew Luck's going to be hopefully getting Reggie Wayne back. Still has T.Y. Hilton. He's going to be also getting Dwayne Allen back, who will be big for him next year, along with Kobe Fleener. They could go out and grab a couple more guys, but I like Andrew Luck out of those two. The other five I would keep. I would keep Matt Forte. he's the, if I'm not mistaken, he's the third ranked running back this year. Yeah, having a phenomenal year, both in the rushing and receiving game. You cannot go wrong with that guy. The Bears find a lot of ways to use him. And I would also go with Eddie Lacy. We've already talked about him on this podcast. He's a monster.
Yeah.
And then I have three more picks. I would use those on, I would use those straight up on Alshon Jeffrey, Josh Gordon, and Julio Jones, in my opinion, just to crank out your wide receivers. You have three monster guys. Julio Jones, who his durability is a little questionable sometimes, but when that guy's healthy, he's amazing. And Alshon Jeffrey, the Bears are just finding more ways to get him the ball. We all see what Josh Gordon is doing without a quarterback this year. You can make your case for Wes Welker with Peyton Manning, but Wes Welker has sustained a couple of concussions this year, plus he's facing a lot more competition on that offense. Jason Witten, no thank you. Do not trust Tony Romo. I'm sorry, Cowboys fans. Arian Foster, another interesting name. I have him going in the first round next year in my mock draft. It's just, and I'm not sure what to expect out of him. Don't know who's going to be the head coach next year. Ben Tate will be gone. Foster's durability, I mean, after this year's injury, could be a little questionable next year. But those are the five I'm going to go with. Andrew Luck, Matt Forte, Eddie Lacy, Alshon Jeffrey, Josh Gordon, and Julio Jones.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where I would go, too. You're looking at the guys who you wouldn't select here. You got Tom Brady. Do you really trust Julian Edelman to be his number one wide receiver long-term?
Danny Amendola, no.
Yeah, I can't trust that. So then you got to look at the next guy, Frank Gore. We already talked about him getting his limited touches there. Jordy Nelson, of course, he's Aaron Rodgers' number one target. The problem is their wide receivers core is loaded. They got Randall Cobb, Jared Boykin stepped up. They also have James Jones all coming back. So you look at that, you say, Nelson, I got to kind of downgrade him a little bit. Wes Welker, he's on a loaded offense too. Kind of you kind of got to decrease his value a little bit. And Reggie Wayne's coming off a torn ACL. So you don't really know how Reggie Wayne's going to come back. We really hope the best. We wish you the best, Reggie. But right now, that's the six that we would go with. Not really a keeper question. What rules do you guys play for keeper leagues? Do you guys just keep to the draft? Well, you see, there's a couple ways to do this. You can just keep two, and then you lose your first two picks, and then you just go from there. Or what you can do, which I think is the most fun, is you get Eddie Lacy in the fifth round, and then you get Keenan Allen in the eighth round. You can decide to keep both of them. What you get to do is you get to lose your fifth round and your eighth round pick, but you get to keep the one and two, which I think is the most fun because it adds a little bit of strategy into it. But yeah, we're both in a league where you just lose your first round, your first two picks, and then you just start drafting in the third round. So the next one we'll go with here is keeper league. Lose your draft pick that you draft. You lose the draft pick in the round in which you draft him. So we got Jamaal Charles in round one or Peyton Manning in round two. Fellow, which way would you go?
The way I would go with Jamaal Charles. Yes, you're losing your first-round pick, but you're getting a very good, consistent running back who can do it through either the receiving game or the rushing game. Peyton Manning, definitely a record-breaking year, throwing 51 touchdowns so far, breaking the record. The problem with that is that the quarterback position is very deep. You had quarterbacks such as Phillip Rivers, Jay Cutler, and other numerous quarterbacks, like even Andy Dalton stepping up as well. You can go out and find a quarterback late in the round and late rounds. Like Chris Brent had Matthew Stafford, and he won the championship. So it just shows that you don't need to always waste a first or second round pick on a Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. As nice as it is to have those guys on your team, a running back who's going to consistently push out points, such as Jamaal Charles pushing 20-plus for most weeks, is something that you're not going to find. So I would go to Jamaal Charles. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I believe Jamaal Charles is the number one here. The problem with Peyton Manning is, I don't know about you guys, how many quarterbacks break the record for passing touchdowns and then break passing yards a year? Actually, this is the first time it's ever happened. Nobody's ever set the passing yard record. Maybe Dan Marino did it. I don't know about that. No, I don't think anybody's ever set the passing yard record and broke the passing touchdown record. But I could be wrong about that. It might have been Dan Marino. But still, Peyton's the second guy to do it. And how long has football been going on? Exactly. So that's where we're at right now. It doesn't keep happening. I know it's a passing league now, but Peyton Manning has a chance to lose Eric Decker this offseason. So we'll see what happens there. So we'll move on to the next question. Could keep two in the round drafted last year. Charles in the first, McCoy in the first, Eddie Lacy in the fifth, or Le'Veon Bell in the fifth. Which two would you keep?
You're definitely going to go with Jamaal Charles and LeSean McCoy, both of who are just on new offenses this year, both are Jamal Charles with Andy Reid and LeSean McCoy with Chip Kelly. They both those coaches have found really good ways to use both these running backs, both in the receiving and rushing game. Like I said, both are very electrifying. Yes, you have Lacy. Yes, you have Le'Veon Bell, both who are rookies. I trust Jamal Charles and LeSean McCoy going into the next year. You're having two running backs who are both top five, top three in my opinion, and I would love to. I would absolutely be in just mad love going into the season, looking at my lineup, knowing that Jamal Charles and LeSean McCoy are my top two running backs.
Yeah, I agree with that. Right now, you look at Jamal Charles, you look at LeSean McCoy. Both actually, right now, I believe I have them one and two in my ranks, and I'm plan on leaving it that way. Honestly, Adrian Peterson, I think he could see kind of a reduced role in touches. So I understand the value you're getting Le'Veon Bell and getting Eddie Lacy in. But honestly, if I'm getting two locks for running backs like these two guys, I've definitely got to keep both of them. The next question is, can only keep one. It's a PPR league. We got Newton, Foles, Alshon Jeffries, or Doug Martin. Which one would you keep?
It's actually a pretty good group of guys. I mean, you got Cam Newton, who has had a career year this year, honestly, taking the Panthers to the playoffs. He's been a very, very good fantasy option this year. Nick Foles stepping out of nowhere in place for Michael Vick. He's got ridiculous amounts of weapons on that team under Chip Kelly. You also have Alshon Jeffrey burst onto the scene. Mark Trestman finding many ways to get that guy the ball, and Alshon showing us what he can do. With Doug Martin, a huge disappointment to most people this year. I know I had him in two leagues, and he disappointed me. I'm not giving up on Doug Martin. I'm a big fan of him next year. I think he's going to have a very good bounce back here. He was actually running the ball pretty well. Not really what you expected out of your first-round pick, but you got to think he was going against some pretty tough rushing defenses in the first 5 weeks before his shoulder injury. It was not a leg injury. It was not an ankle injury, not a knee injury. So that you don't really have to worry about his running game being off next year as much as you think you would. I'm going with Doug Martin out of this group. I trust him more. I would rather have him, who I believe is going to be a very week-to-week consistent running back. You can find a quarterback better than Newton and Foles. I'm not that big of a fan of them in a fantasy aspect, mm-hmm. as other people are. But that's just my opinion. Like, Foles stepped up this year for some people. Mm-hmm. Alshon, you can find other receivers, like we've said. I'm going with Doug Martin.
Yeah, I agree with that. I go with Doug Martin, too. I think Doug Martin's the I think I have him ranked as the number seventh best running back, and a lot of people have a problem with it. The problem is he has really tough matchups the entire year. His weakest matchup, if you go off the rankings right now, was against the 16th best run defense, which was the New England Patriots. And the Patriots actually had Vince Wilfork at the time. So they were actually within the top five. So you look at that and you just think, wow, I mean, I'm getting Doug Martin in the first round, and he only had a shoulder injury. I think it was a torn labrum. Yeah, and I'm not too worried about him. So that's the way I would lean right now. The next question is, Charles in the first round or Gordon in the 17th? I believe we have some differences on this one.
We got some differences, but actually this is our third time recording this podcast due to technical difficulties. And Chris Brown has convinced me. I was going to go with Charles in the first just because of the year this guy's having, but if you're going to tell me I'm losing my 17th round pick for the number two wide receiver, I'm taking that because, number one, you don't know what draft pick you're going to end up with in the first round. You could very well get Jamal Charles. You don't know. Other than that, oh, darn, I got Adrian Peterson or LeSean McCoy. You're going to get over it real quick. So I'm actually convinced now I'm going to go with Gordon in the 17th round. Jamal Charles having a great year. Like we said, never seen this many carries. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of stole the words right out of my mouth, you know. I had Josh Gordon in 17th. I'm getting the second-best wide receiver right now. I'm ranked as a second-round pick for the 17th. That's an easy swap for me. I'll easily give that up all day long. So let's move on to the next one. We got Josh Gordon or AJ Green as my wide receiver keeper. Who would you keep?
That's a good group of guys. I would possibly go with – I would go with Josh Gordon over AJ Green, just for the fact of what this guy can do. Josh Gordon is the only guy who's really seeing targets on that offense. Jordan Cameron, yes, he's going to see his, but I mean, maybe the Browns bring in a guy to help take pressure off Gordon, but Chudzinski found his guy. Josh Gordon, as long as that guy can stay out of trouble, he is amazing. And I see them bringing in a quarterback next year, like I said. I'm going with Josh Gordon over AJ Green. AJ Green, He's amazing. He's had a very good start to his career along with Andy Dalton. Those two definitely get along. But the Bengals have a lot more options on the offense. AJ Green had also, I mean, they're in the same division. AJ Green seems to get shut down more than Josh Gordon does, in my opinion, against Ike Taylor. That's just how I feel. He also does play Joe Hayden, which Josh Gordon does not have to do. I'm going with Josh Gordon. I see them bringing in a more consistent quarterback. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. Josh Gordon, you look at what he did, even in the game that he played bad, week 15, he was terrible the entire game. Caught a 60-yard touchdown, made us fantasy owners very, very happy. So you look at that, and Josh Gordon's actually been, it's more of a what can you do for me lately? And Josh Gordon's definitely been that kind of receiver. AJ Green, he's a great receiver. He's my number four receiver, but guess what? Right now, I'd rather have Josh Gordon on my team going forward. We have a, would you keep any of the Broncos running back questions?
I can't really see myself wasting a keeper pick on either Knowshon Moreno or possibly Monte Ball. I'm not gonna trust my keeper pick on one of those guys. With Knowshon Moreno, you're not gonna know it to get out of his health. He had a really good year this year. Monte Ball, you don't know if he's still gonna be a backup next year. So why would you waste a keeper
Yeah,
pick on a
exactly.
backup running back? I would like to use my keeper picks on players who I know are gonna be there and who I'm positive, almost positive that they're going to perform, not including injuries or whatnot, because we can't help that. So I would not waste one of my keeper picks on a Broncos running back, but if you somehow have to, you're using it on Knowshon Moreno. You're not going to use it on any other, but I would not, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would not either. You look at a guy like Knowshon Moreno. Throughout his career, he's been injury prone. This year, actually, came out of nowhere, gave us all. He was actually listed as their third string running back going into the season, and actually, Ronnie Hillman was actually named the starter. So that's just where the Broncos thought Knowshon Moreno was going to be. So you look at what they got now, and Knowshon Moreno is good, but they have to start working Monte Ball in my opinion. So I would not keep any of them. You don't know how it's going to work out. The next question is, can keep two? Calvin Johnson, Jordy Nelson, Keenan Allen, Julius Thomas. Who would you keep?
I would definitely go with Calvin Johnson. You're getting one of the most consistent wide receivers in the NFL, if not the best wide receivers in the NFL. Matthew Stafford's always looking that guy's way. I'm actually like Calvin Johnson actually kind of had a disappointing year, in my opinion. He experienced a lot more drops this year. He is getting older, but the guy's still gonna be performing no matter what. He's gonna be there for you week after week. I trust him more than Jordy Nelson or Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, who is like the Chargers. They're missing Danari Alexander and Malcolm Floyd right now. That's why Allen has gotten such a great chance, and he has definitely taken advantage of his chance he'd been given, catching a bunch of touchdowns for a rookie and really opening some eyes. I'm going Calvin Johnson out of those two receivers, leaving me with Julius Thomas, who is my second keeper. I'm going to go with a consistent tight end on a very high-powered offense who is scoring 30-plus points a week with the best. I will say, I think Peyton Manning's the best quarterback of all time. One of the best quarterbacks of all time, throwing you the ball, finding a way to get this guy touchdowns. This guy had not really ever had any experience in previous years, and he comes out and catches 12 touchdowns. I'll take a year like that. Like, give this guy this is pretty much like his rookie year. Like, let's be honest, he'd been injured previous years. He has a year under his belt. Him and Peyton Manning have definitely gotten along, and I see that continuing on into next year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. That is the big red X for me.
Yeah, I'm going the same way. Thomas would probably be the actual number two tight end if he didn't miss two games. Who's to say he even couldn't catch Jimmy Graham? I don't really know the difference, but it'd be a lot closer if Thomas was able to play those 2 weeks that he ended up missing. So that's definitely the way that we're going. So the last question is, I can keep two here. I'm definitely keeping Le'Veon Bell, which we agree with, and then basically the other two are out of Keenan Allen and Michael Crabtree. Which way would you go?
Okay, well, since you're definitely keeping Le'Veon Bell, that's an obvious keeper out of this group of players. I'm actually going Michael Crabtree. He missed most of this year due to an Achilles injury, but I mean, he's definitely taken advantage of his playing time since he's came back. He has Anquan Boldin there, who is now taking pressure off him. He has Colin Kaepernick, who has another year under his belt, which only helps him in next year. You still got Vernon Davis. With Keenan Allen, like I said previously, you still got Dinari Alexander, still got Malcolm Floyd, you still got Antonio Gates and Ladarius Green taking pressure or taking looks away from him. I'm going Michael Crabtree. You got like I said, Crabtree, Bolden and Davis are the only receivers that Kaepernick ever looks at on that offense. With Phillip Rivers, you don't know who he's going to throw to if all of his receivers are healthy. I'm going Michael Crabtree and Le'Veon Bell. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going. I agree with that. Originally, I didn't agree with that. I was actually going to say Keenan Allen, but Fogle actually convinced me that once you look at all the receivers here, Kenyon Alexander is coming back from knee reconstruction surgery. He's going to be a great wide receiver for this team as long as he can stay healthy. And then you look at a guy like they got Malcolm Floyd, Eddie Royal. They'll still have Keenan Allen there. I don't know who the number one is. Ladarius Green will be there. You also have Antonio Gates. So I don't know who the number one receiver is. It could be Denario Alexander. Could be Keenan Allen. So Michael Crabtree is the way to go here for me, too. Just wanted to come up with the last segment here. We're going to talk about position of, like, where you would draft these guys. Let's look at quarterback first. Where would you go quarterback-wise? Like, where do you plan on drafting a quarterback? Like, you plan on taking one early or what?
I always say this every year that I'm going to go out and get either Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, or Drew Brees. But really, when you look at it at the end of the year, you don't need to waste a pick like that. You can wait on a quarterback, in my opinion. Wait till the sixth or seventh round. Grab Matthew Stafford. I'm going to say it, but grab Tony Romo. He's a pretty good quarterback throughout the first part of the regular season. I mean, you can get a guy like Phillip Rivers and Jay Cutler, Nick Foles, who can carry you to a playoff. I hate wasting an early pick on a quarterback. Sometimes people feel that's what you need to do. But over the years of fantasy football I've played, I have found that if you wait on a quarterback, you're not going to get screwed. You're going to get those players in the earlier rounds, running back, wide receiver, tight end, who are going to be there for you and who are going to be consistent compared to a quarterback that you don't know what's going to happen. Like, for those of you who wasted a first-round pick on Aaron Rodgers this year, I'm sorry, you got injured. Like, it's just like that. That can happen. So I can see where you take Peyton Manning in the first round. The guy's a monster. I actually have him as my number two pick overall, and I'm saying this right now. But I'm not going to use a first or second round pick on him. It just kind of depends on who you're drafting with and who do you feel like is gonna get drafted at what point in the draft.
Yeah, okay. For example, we had a PPR league. Somebody decided that Peyton Manning was going to be their first round pick just to prove to you that a quarterback isn't all that matters on your team. He has Peyton Manning, Rashard Mendenhall. No, nobody got hurt. Steven Jackson, Victor Cruz, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Gates, and his slot was Emmanuel Sanders. So listen to this. If he finished 4-9 on the year, got eliminated from the playoffs, and he had Peyton Manning on his team, the best quarterback. So that's just where we're leaning right now. I'd never take quarterback early. Actually, I got stuck with Carson Palmer going into this season and actually made some trades to make some stuff happen. But honestly, Carson Palmer wouldn't have been that bad. I would not have won the fantasy championship with him, I'll tell you that. But there are guys out there like Andy Dalton that you can get late, Jay Cutler, Nick Foles, Phillip Rivers. So you can just really just wait on a quarterback. So the next position we'll talk about is running back. Where do you go after running backs?
I definitely am a firm believer that you use a first-round pick on a running back. You got to go out and get that guy. I mean, with Doug Martin, I took this year. I mean, an injury is going to happen in fantasy football. That's just how football goes. But you are definitely using out of your first three picks, you should definitely be drafting two running backs, in my opinion. Taking with your third pick, getting a wide receiver. Running backs are the most important position on your team. And if you're going to have a consistent running back there, you can find other pieces. You're going to have wide receivers who step up. You're going to have tight ends who shine this year, just like Julius Thomas and Jordan Cameron. Wide receivers, Antonio Brown and Keenan Allen. Running backs, not really. Like, do I really? Like, I don't want to be stuck with Lamar Miller, for those of you who took him. No, you got to go and get those guys who you know are going to get carries, know who are going to get your points. And I'm using two of my first three picks on running back.
Yeah, and people are going to say, well, what about Zach Stacy? I got him late. What about Knowshon Moreno? He came out of nowhere. The problem is with those guys, those don't always happen. Name the guys who did it 2 years ago. Who came out of nowhere 2 years ago when was your running back? Nobody. So you're looking at that, and you're just thinking, I got to get my running backs early. I drafted early. I drafted Jamal Charles second. Actually got laughed at by all the league, and guess what? Jamal Charles led me to my fantasy championship. I only had Matthew Stafford. Actually, I plugged in Kirk Cousins instead of Matthew Stafford for my championship game. Still won by like 25 points. So that's just the way it goes. You have to get a solid team, not just a quarterback. So I load up on the running backs in the first two rounds. Plan to go wide plan to go wide receiver in the third. The problem is if you can get a guy like Calvin Johnson still in the first round, I still recommend doing that. I mean, obviously not over the top tier running backs, but over the second tier running backs, I'd take Calvin Johnson. And I'd still take Jimmy Graham over them just because you've got a lock at the tight end position. Like we talked about, you get a guy as solid tight end, that's definitely the guy I want. Wide receivers, where would you think about taking them?
Like I just said, I'm going to use one of my first three picks on a wide receiver. Once I have my two starting running backs, I'm going to focus on receivers and a tight end based on the fact that you're waiting on a quarterback, just kind of how your draft goes. But you want to get your running backs, then you want to get your receivers. And my opinion to you is draft a sleeper, you know? Like, you get your four wide receivers who you know are going to do well and hope that you do well. Use one of your late-round picks on a sleeper, okay? You had Josh Gordon going the 17th round this year. Second wide receiver. I mean, I'm not saying wait on wide receivers. You go after those guys who are going to be monsters. Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, all those, the Dez Bryant.
Demaryius Thomas will follow too.
Demaryius Thomas. These wide receivers are going to be there in the second, third, fourth. The rounds that you're going to get a wide receiver in my opinion, are between the second and eighth. Like, that is just where you want to get 3 to 4 good wide receivers, and then wait a little bit, get a quarterback, get a couple tight ends, and then grab a defense. Like, if Seattle's there, Seattle, I don't have a problem with taking a defense that early, but you're not going to waste, I mean, use a defense on like 9th or 10th. That's a different story.
Yeah, that's where I'd lean at wide receiver too. You're looking at the guy, I would draft like probably three wide receivers in between that round. I still want to kind of get another running back. I like to just load my team up with them. Like this year I had Steven Jackson and Jamal Charles at my starting running back position. And I was like, well, I can trade Steven Jackson, get rid of him, get like a Tom Brady, something like that. I took Tom Brady, packaged him, sent him for like Matthew Stafford. And I still had Giovanni Bernard on the bench, so I didn't mind it. And so like that's what you can do. You can add trade depth to yourself. You can give yourself that kind of room. And that's where I really like to do wide receivers. Try to get a consistent one, and then the other ones you can just find them as you go. Tight ends.
Actually, guys, I'm sorry, but in one of my leagues, my first two picks were actually Arian Foster and Trey Richardson, which you know how good of a year those guys had. Terrible. My fourth round pick was actually DeMarco Murray, who actually had a very good year this year. Surprisingly stayed healthy for most of the year. He was the reason I made it to the playoffs. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to the championship game. I actually eventually picked up Zach Stacy. So for the majority of the year, DeMarco Murray and Zach Stacy were both my running backs, as Arian Foster and Trey Richardson were two very big disappointments this year. So I have no problem with taking three running backs out of your first four picks. No problem at all. You want to build up on those. You don't know how injuries are going to happen. And plus, you can just plug one in at flex. So you're good to go there, and you can wait on a wide receiver. My wide receivers in that league this year were Andre Johnson and Josh Gordon. I mean, two very consistent wide receivers. So you want to get your running backs, guys.
Yeah, and tight ends, the next position, the last one we'll talk about. And you look at that, and you just think, you just got to try to get the guy in the top three. If you don't get a top three guy, you can really wait on a tight end, because you'll always have the breakout tight ends. So if you're not getting a guy, and I don't recommend, I mean, I'd take Jimmy Graham the first, but I don't recommend taking the next two guys until like round three or four. But after that, I mean, honestly, you can just wait on your tight end, because there's going to be that guy that emerged, like Jordan Cameron this year. Who saw Jordan Cameron coming? He's the fourth best tight end this year. So that's just where we're at right now. I wanted to clarify some stuff for some week 17. Tony Romo, if you got Tony Romo going, he is not ruled out yet. He is ruled day-to-day by Jason Garrett. And what will happen is, if he cannot go, Kyle Orton will be the starter. I don't really think it affects your Cowboys that much. I think that DeMarco Murray will definitely be the workhorse back in this offense after that. Adrian Peterson could be shut down for the season just because they don't want him hurt going into the next one. Jamal Charles could be shut down just because Andy Reid has a history of doing so. They cannot improve their seeding. So if you got a guy like that, that's the way you want to go. And Calvin Johnson, also another guy who could be shut down this season. Steve Smith, you can pretty much count him out of the rest of the regular season, hoping that he can go to the playoffs and play for him. Who else? Wes Walker. That's what I want to talk about. Wes Walker, he's going to be out for week 17 probably. So you can really just count on him for the playoffs. he'll probably come back then. Other than that, guys, that's all I got. Just wanted to say that keep downloading the podcast, even if you can't listen to us, because that way we can move into a positive direction, try to get on iTunes quick. And the quicker we can do that, the faster we can get better quality videos out for you and all that stuff. So, yeah.
I think that's it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Yep. Peace out.